Harvest Feast. After the days of awe, September in 2012, comes the celebration known as Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths. It is described in Leviticus 23:39-43. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the 1st day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the 1st day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Since verses 33-36 describe the Feast of Booths, some have said that this passage describes a second festival that runs concurrently with Sukkot. The latter part of the passage may suggest otherwise. Either way, a festival that starts on the 15th day of the 7th month in the Jewish calendar, October 1-6, in 2012, is clearly described as a harvest festival. It comes after gathering in the fruit of the land and includes the taking of 4 species of plants. Every major Jewish holiday speaks to a messianic theme. Passover, Pesach, speaks to the separation of God's people from the world. Pentecost, Shavuos, is about the giving of the law and speaks to the beginning of the church. Rosh Hashanah is a day of blowing trumpets as a reminder of judgment to come and reminds us that there will be a judgment after the last shofar is blown. That judgment is pictured in the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that Sabbath pictures our final rest, Hebrews 4. So what may we take from Sukkot? The obvious lesson is that we are wanderers on the earth, living in a temporary dwelling as we wait for the rest to come. Much has been written and will be written on that theme. Since one of the feasts that begins on the same day is primarily a harvest festival, perhaps there is another lesson. The holiday comes at the beginning of the holiday year, notwithstanding the holidays of judgment that immediately preceded. While it clearly was a holiday after the ingathering of the crops, maybe we can turn it just slightly and point it toward the other holidays. Rather than celebrating the ingathering, perhaps we can look at Sukkot as looking forward to the next year's crops. But how does that relate to the Messianic faith? Yeshua, Jesus, told his disciples, "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." John 4:35-36. He further pointed out, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Matthew 9:37-38. Those who are seeking to harvest the fruit of the gospel may be few. Even in the new year, the fields are already ripe for the harvest. While one person may plant and another water, nevertheless it is God that gives the increase, 1 Corinthians 3:6 and 7. That does not absolve each of us from participating in the harvest. God has chosen human teaching as the means of planting His word in the hearts of other people, 1 Corinthians 1:21. Any farmer knows that the planting is followed by a long period of care. Even the ingathering takes time. May Succus remind us that there is still a harvest, and we need to bring it in before the trumpet sounds and the opportunity for harvest is over.